Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nah, I'm not trying to maintain anything. I'm just trying to, every week is a new week, new opponent. So it's a new week every week. You just got to bring your A game every week. So I'm just trying to get better every week.
James Conner feeling better after coming out of Thursday night's game in the concussion protocol. Full participant in practice. With more on Conner and Le'Veon Bell's decision to stay away, we'll talk to Dave Richards, CBSSports.com, senior fantasy football writer. Follow him at Dave Richard on Twitter. Dave, you called Le'Veon Bell the biggest fantasy football bust in history.
Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, listen, you took him number one overall, and he doesn't play for you. He takes a spot up on your bench, never scores a touchdown, never gives you any yards, never does nothing. You could have traded him, but at what cost? People weren't going to give up the moon for Le'Veon Bell unless it was after the first couple of weeks of the season. Even then, I don't think they would have given up that much. I just think that he was a nightmare for anybody that had him. I have him on a couple of my leagues. Only the leagues where I took him and James Conner are those squads, like, even in playoff contention. I do have one team where I have Le'Veon and I don't have James Conner. Forget about it. I think that team's like 4-6, so really on its last legs. I just think that he will go down in history, and this year will go down in history as one of the most interesting ones that that a pro football player has had in relation to contract squabbles with a team.
Dave, I'm going to flex then a little bit on you. On the team that Bell got auto-drafted for me, third overall, I'm 7-3, baby. I'm 7-3 and in prime
contention. Yeah, but Chris, we talked contention. About this. That was the league where, like, Julian Edelman was a free agent. Like, the owners have not done a great job in that league.
Come on. You can give Chris a little bit of credit here. He's doing great, and he's taking advantage of, you know, this is like complaining about a team that, like, say, starts 5-0. But they've got a really easy schedule. They can only do so much. They can only beat the teams that are in front of them each week, and that's what Chris has done.
Yeah.
I predict a championship for you, man.
Dave, for people like me who finally dropped Le'Veon Bell and made that formal decision at probably 4:02 yesterday or 4:01, who are some backs that should be available right now that are going to maybe give you some production in a pinch if you end up needing it?
Well, let's just talk about running backs that could be good for you potentially rest of season. Josh Adams is still available in 65% of CBS Sports leagues. He might be the Eagles' best running back the rest of the way. There was a much larger rush to get Rashad Penny after his 100-yard game for Seattle. But that's a crowded backfield. These are both good guys to stash and kind of wait and see what develops in each of their backfields. But I think Adams could probably get ahead sooner than Penny. Penny is still available in 60% of CBS Sports leagues. And other than that, there's really not a lot to get excited about. I guess you could qualify Deontay Foreman as another player that could be good. He's Houston's second-year running back. He's coming off of a torn Achilles. We'll see how soon he gets back on the field and how effective he is for Houston. But that's really about it. Doug Martin and Jalen Richard could still be out there in a few weeks, but they might make you reach for the Pepto by the time the third quarter rolls around in their game.
What do your projections, or when you look ahead on James Conner, what do you see for him, Dave?
Stud, super awesome fantasy running back. You're talking about a guy that's going to get 20 touches per week in one of the best offenses in football. As long as he stays healthy, and it sounds like he's over the concussion already, I think James Conner is going to continue to fulfill as a top 10 fantasy running back. And I can take it a step further. Next year, given the track record of Steelers running backs and given what we've seen from James Conner, assuming he keeps this up, not only will he be a first-round pick, he'll probably be a top-5 overall pick, and he'll get taken ahead of Le'Veon Bell, no matter where Bell ends up.
Do you think Bell's prognosis for next year, assuming, you know, he plays, which we all have to assume is the case, is still that he's pretty good? You just said Conner gets taken ahead of him, but is Bell still a pretty high pick in most drafts next year in your mind?
I think a few fantasy owners will be soured by what happened with Le'Veon, and they just won't want to take him. But it's all going to depend on where he ends up, what other running backs are there with him, how good he looks. You know, I mean, we all heard the reports about him playing basketball in the gym and how he didn't look like he was in football shape. So, you know, he's got a little bit of time to get himself ready for next year, but you've got to assume that he's going to be on another team and that other team will use him similarly to how the Steelers used him. And you can take your pick. There's a couple of teams out there that make a lot of sense for him. The Jets could overpay for him, and they've got the extra draft picks to do it. The Colts could also be in the market for him, and that would be a real dangerous combination, putting him with Andrew Luck. What about putting him in Houston with Deshaun Watson? That could be interesting. So there are definitely some spots where Le'Veon could end up, again, being a first-round pick, maybe not top five, top six like James Conner could be, but still very, very good for fantasy. I think the thing that will caution fantasy owners will be that he's going to be 28 years old and he didn't play last year, so they'll be a little nervous to take him and trust him like they would other first-round running backs.
If your league is still allowing trades, check out Dave's trade value chart at cbssports.com. Waiver wire advice, it's all there. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Richard. He's joining us right now on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in town. Dave, talk to me about disappointing tight ends that went high in fantasy football drafts. Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham. Are you bullish on those guys? Are you scared for the guys that have, clinging to them all year, don't have good backup options? Where are you on two very expensive tight ends who haven't delivered so far?
Well, we're getting a breather on Gronk because the Patriots are on bye. And I would try and trade for him. I wouldn't give up very much for him. Probably nothing more than a number two receiver or a number two running back along with whatever tight end that I had on my team that wasn't a stud tight end. And I think that Gronk does have potential once he's healthy to come back and do what he's done. I don't know if he's quite as explosive as he used to be, and you have to be concerned that he could always get hurt again. But at the same time, Gronk's Gronk. He's always a threat to score. It doesn't matter who he plays. You'll feel okay putting him in your lineup. I don't think that he's going to completely fall off the face of the earth even when he does come back, and hopefully that happens in Week 12 against the Jets. Graham's a little bit of a different story. He doesn't seem to be moving quite as well. He's already not practiced 2 days this week. He's going into a matchup against Seattle where, you know, he might be motivated to score and have a big game because it's his former team. But I don't know if he's as big a part in this offense as we might have thought at the beginning of the season. He makes me nervous, but he should still get a decent amount of targets every week, 4 or 5 targets. He's got to score in order to really come through for fantasy owners. Trading him, you're not going to get much for him unless it's somebody who just needs him to fill a tight end spot for the rest of the season because they've been streaming.
Dave, I look at one guy that I didn't think was necessarily going to be that great in his second year as a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky, and I see a guy whose numbers actually look real good. What's the read on him long-term, but more importantly, the skill guys around him, especially the wideouts there, as far as his development and the impact it might have on them moving forward in fantasy?
I don't think you'll see a good game from Trubisky this week because he's taking on Minnesota, and the Vikings secondary is healthy. Their pass rush is really good, and it's going to be hard for Trubisky to have another one of these 2, 3, 4 touchdown games like we've kind of been accustomed to seeing from them. But that offense has been great at scheming up against their opponents. Matt Nagy has done a really nice job of working with Trubisky, helping him improve his reads and his throws. And the numbers prove it. He has 19 touchdowns, and he's on pace to be the first quarterback in Bears history to have over 4,000 yards. That's going to be pretty incredible. And I think the long-term future for him is good. You look at his receiving core, there isn't one guy that does it week in and week out. You saw Allen Robinson last week against Detroit. Everybody had a great game against Detroit, Robinson included with 2 touchdowns. I think after this week, you'll see Robinson step back into a low-end number 2 fantasy wide receiver role. But I like their rookie, Anthony Miller, a lot as well. He's their slot guy. He's got some great matchups moving forward. This week isn't so bad for him compared to Robinson, who will probably see a lot of Xavier Rhodes. These are guys I'd like to have on my fantasy team, and Miller is another one of those players you can find on your waiver wire still in a bunch of leagues and just stash him. See what happens. He could end up being the best Bears receiver by the end of the year.
Hypothetically speaking, if I have the Steelers defense, should I cut it for the Arizona defense this week? Should any defense be cut for the Cardinals?
Almost any defense. No defense that you want to keep long-term because after this week, Arizona...
How many of those are there, Dave?
Oakland. I don't think there's that many. So that's the night. I don't think Jacksonville is one of them. And, Chicago probably would be. Minnesota might be, too. But outside of that, there really aren't that many. Pittsburgh could be one of them. They've got Jacksonville this week, then Denver. So the next 2 games are pretty good, but I would make the swap to get the Cardinals this week to try and take advantage of the matchup. But if you can't get them, double check to see if the Ravens defense is out there in your league, because they've got a decent matchup this week against Cincinnati, provided that A.J. Green doesn't play. And then they play Oakland next week. So you could have a nice two-week window for Baltimore to help your fantasy squad out.
Dave, I was going to ask a question, but we're out of time, I'm now being told.
I was told that we were just going to end this interview so Craig could get extra time.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah,
because
Craig's
Craig didn't
there.
Finish
yeah.
in the money again this week.
You know who did, though, Dave?
Who?
Both people. Andrew and myself.
Yeah, we're dominating
conducting
the
this interview.
League,
I took the gold. Andrew took the silver. Craig did take the bronze, but it doesn't matter because it's not in the money.
Yeah.
We don't even have awesome. A medal stand that has three places for him.
That is fantastic. You know, there's a lot of good sleeper quarterbacks in daily this week. Marcus Mariota, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott. On DraftKings, they're all 5,500 or less. I would look into using one of those three.
And thank you for sharing that with everybody involved and not just Craig.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All righty, be good, guys.
Dave Richard.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.